Welcome to Destiny Harvest Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between DC and Baltimore. We're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you've tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@mydestinyharvest.com. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He's doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
So we're starting a brand new series called Impact Your World. Impact Your World. And here's the main idea, that it's in our hearts to make an impact. It's in our DNA. It's like intrinsic. There's some part of us that just wants to do good. There's some part just wants to make a lasting impact. We can't get away with it. We were wired that way. We really are. You know, I'm pretty handy. People call me Bob the Builder. Can I fix it? Yes, Bob the Builder. Yes, I can. I'm pretty humble. I'm probably the most humble person I know, but be wary of someone that says that they're the most humble person that they know. But I'm pretty legit. You know, I grew up just at IKEA. That was like my playground almost. I've built entertainment centers. I've laid down tiles in the bathroom. You probably didn't know that about me. My husband, he doesn't really want me to do all that stuff, but I'm pretty handy. So one day, a little bit recently, honestly, I went down to the playroom and I saw this box. It was a tricycle that my daughter had received for her birthday. And she starts looking at me and pointing at it and stuff like that pretty persistently. And I'm just like, that's right, baby. Mommy's gonna do it for you. And I went upstairs and got a throw and I was gonna tie it around my neck. And I was literally, that's my personality, by the way. I was literally coming back downstairs. I knew the post I was gonna put on Instagram and stuff like that. It was gonna be great. Like, Zai strikes again. Like, I mean, what does she not do? Like, she even builds tricycles. Like, I was here for it. And Zoe, she's pretty impatient. She definitely gets that out of her father. But she's like, he's not here to defend himself. But so she is like pointing at this box and like happy and all that stuff. And I'm just like, yes, I am going to do this for you. I love you that much, until I opened up the box. And it was like 1,000 pieces, y'all. Okay, that's dramatic. It was 2,000 pieces. I am like of like plastic and metal, like pink. And I'm like, who built this? Like Lord was like, you're supposed to. I'm like, no, like, who is this made for? Like, you need like your engineering degree to get this done. I mean, I'm just looking at it, and 2 hours later, I had gone nowhere. I was almost gonna call customer service and said, this is not child friendly. Like, who is gonna, it was just a daunting task. And Zoe's looking at me like, mommy, are you gonna do something? And I'm just like, ask your dad. You know, sometimes when we look at the world and just how messed up it is. Like, how messed up it is. Sometimes we feel like it's too daunting of a task, don't we? Like, how intricate government is and policies and all this other stuff. Like, you want to step out and do something, but sometimes just like, I can't do anything. But God didn't ask you to change the world. He asked you to change your world. We have clear vision here at Destiny Harvest, and it's important for you to know this. We talk about it a lot in step one, which I invite you all to come to, happening right after this experience. But we have vision for you, and it's for you to know God. For you to know the lover of your soul, like a good, good father, for you to know him, for you also to find freedom in that there's just this, you know, God's forgiven you of your past. Like, we want you to find freedom from that. And then third is for you to discover your purpose, to know why on earth, like, I was created. And fourth is for you to make a difference. And honestly, it's not just our mission, it's not our goal for you, but it's God's goal for you too. It's littled all throughout the Bible. That part, making a difference, that's the part that makes a lasting impact here in our world. But when we look at the world again and how messed up it is, sometimes it just seems too daunting of a task. Doesn't it seem like after every hurricane that there's another one? Doesn't it seem like after a terrorist attack, there's another one? And doesn't it seem to be getting even closer and closer? Sometimes just like, what is going on? But we've been called to do something. I remember sitting, I'm like, God, why don't people want to do something? Why don't they want to make an impact? I was really praying about it. I'm like, please, let me get in their minds a little bit. And he said, honestly, it's because of fear. I said, fear? He said, fear of the past. Not the past, fear of their past. In that, I'm just not good enough. In that, I don't have a degree, or I don't have this, I don't have that pedigree, and so I'm just, that's just not my background. And so I just can't. Really? You know, no matter what you've done, you know, God can forgive you. I just happen to think that the blood of Jesus is thick. It is able to cover every single sin. And you know, the gifts of God, your calling, you know, it's irrevocable. It cannot be taken away. So if there's something maybe in your past that's stopping you, or you feel like it's stopping you, you can literally come to God, ask him to forgive you, and he is faithful. He will forgive you of all of your sin, of all your transgressions. Second thing to just stop people from making a difference is fear of people, of others, what other people think. In that, again, whether I'm not perfect or I don't know. Some of us, that's even us in worship. We don't want to lift our hands because we're thinking everyone's looking at us and they know what we did yesterday. No, we're not looking at you. We're looking at God. Fear of people will always have an opinion. It will never, I mean, wrong opinions. There are some people that think that the Ravens are a really good team. I said that, I did. But people will have sometimes just a wrong opinion out there. You can't stop them. Do you know that, man, I heard this story and it just broke my heart. The church in Europe during the Holocaust time, do you know that they were silent? That they would hear trains of people, of children, families just going on the train to their slaughter. They knew what was happening, but they felt like they couldn't do anything, afraid of what other people would think, so they just sang a lot louder. Church, let that not be us. There's so much going in our world. Sometimes we're saying, why isn't anyone doing anyone? Why not you? Why not you? So my prayer during this series that you would know that leaving an impact, it's not just good and it sounds pretty, but it's a part of you. God wired you that way. He placed gifts and talents inside of you. He calls you his masterpiece. That you can make a lasting impact. Don't you want to do good? Don't you? Some of you are like, yeah, but see, I'm just busy. Like, Pastor Zai, I'm just really busy. Like, but see, I'm trying to make sure my husband eats, trying to even order groceries, you know, Peapod and all that other stuff. I'm just busy. Well, I pray that the Lord gives you wisdom as to how to handle your schedule, but you can do something. You can start in your home. You can start with your family. But I hope you're stirred today. Our prayers throughout the series that literally you would feel just this burden to do something, to say something, to start something. You know, the opening text, we're talking about Paul here. He's talking to the church in Corinth about how no matter what we've experienced in our lives, that God gives us comfort and that comfort has a purpose. And if you know anything about Paul, like he's one of the apostles and he wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament. So probably a lot of your favorite scriptures that you know, like whatever, and all, and maybe even put on a coffee mug and stuff like that. It's probably by Paul. And if you know his life, I mean, he had a really crazy life. In that he was shipwrecked. He was beaten several times. He was stoned. Almost to the point of death, he went without food. He was imprisoned by some of the crazy, just worst jails ever. And he writes saying that all of this, that God brought comfort to him, and that this comfort, it has a purpose to it. He's actually able to impact people because of what he's been through. Wow. You know, my husband, he can't see well. Well, he couldn't see well. I'll tell you, we used to, our date nights, we like going to D.C. It's just really cute, especially the, you know, Georgetown area. So cobblestone, and you have the water, and you have restaurants and shops, and it has one of our favorite jazz clubs there. So we would go often. Y'all should probably go. Maybe not today. Today's kind of ugly, but maybe this week. Your husbands, you can take your wives to Georgetown. That's great. You can thank me later for your happy ending. Ha, ha, ha. You probably just elbowed me in the hallway. Pastor's eye. Thank you. And I'll wink back at you. But no, we would have these really great date nights where we would drive from Reisterstown. Where is Reisterstown? It's like Samaria. It's just so far. It is so, I grew up in Peachy County. Like, what is 795? Like, I just did not understand. It's just so far. Anyway, and we would go down to D.C. to do whatever. And then we would drive back, you know, back to Samaria. And it'll be so late at nighttime. And my husband, he is gripping the steering wheel, driving, just... And I just look at him like, are you okay? Like, so tense. I'm like, do you want me to drive? And he's just like, no. And I'm like, why? And I don't know if he never answered me. Whether he's being chivalrous or he didn't trust my driving, I don't know. It's TBD. But he would drive, and sometimes it's almost as if, like, he's seeing things. I'm like, there's no deer. Like, I'm watching. Well, sometimes it'll be so much that I'd fall asleep. That's what I did when I couldn't handle whatever was happening. But... until he got glasses. After he got glasses, like, it just changed. Like, he could see. Find out that he's nearsighted. You know, a lot of us, we're spiritually nearsighted. We can't see what's ahead. All we see, it's what's now. Maybe you've never been shipwrecked, but maybe you faced a financial trial, you know? Maybe you've never been bitten by a snake, but maybe someone close to you betrayed you. Maybe you've never been stoned and almost left to dead, but maybe someone close to you received, just died like a horrific death. And all you see is that. God is saying that honestly, no matter what you've experienced, that he can bring comfort. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 to 18. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles. Sometimes it honestly doesn't feel light and momentary, yeah? Because sometimes it's not something major that happened, but it's just a dream that you've had for such a long time that hasn't come to pass yet. And it's just... you feel like you're stuck. It says, our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I have a full sleeve. Some of you know, some of you may not know. It's so funny, whenever I meet someone, they kind of double take, like, wait, that's the pastor? Yes. I have an arm full of tattoos, and honestly, it's from some of the most painful moments in my life. Loved ones passing way too early. And at the time, I just thought, this is it. I can't move past this. Stuff ever happened, you felt like you're not going to get past it? And you're just like, this is it. It's a weird feeling because it hurts, but you just also don't want to forget it, especially if it's a person that passed away, you know? You kind of want to scar yourself to remembrance a little bit. So that was me. And fast forward some years later, I know that that's, though painful, those moments, that season, that's not the end of my story. And honestly, it's not the end of yours either. It's really not. I've been praying for you for a long time. When I heard I was preaching, I've just been praying for you. I don't know who's in this room, but I've been praying that, honestly, that your eyes would just be enlightened. Not these eyes, but the eyes of your heart. That they might be enlightened. That you would fix your eyes not on just what's seen, but that you would see that, honestly, that God has so much more in store for you. It's so easy to be spiritually nearsighted. Where all we see is what's happening now. Do you remember prom? You remember how prom was like the biggest deal ever? Fast forward some years, you probably don't even know who you went on the prom with. I mean, I thought prom was the biggest thing for me. And now, in retrospect, like, I don't even talk to him. I don't even think I like him. That's a silly example, but we're far removed from that. There's other things that you're experiencing now, and it seems like such the big, you're never going to move past it. Says who? You? Not the Lord. So after all that we've experienced, after all that's even happening now, how do we leave a lasting impact? Do we even have time to? I hope you do. My prayer is that you do. But how? Step one is this. Don't ask why. Ask what? Don't ask why. Ask what? There'll come a time, a really horrible season, where the ancients, you know, they couldn't ignore. And I've Googled to see if there's any way to bypass this season, but apparently you can't. You really can't. And it's this time, talking about when my little 15-month-old starts to make a little bit more sense and starts to put words together and starts to ask why. You know when a toddler starts to ask why? I feel bad because a lot of kids that I've come across with, like, I just used to lie to them. I did. And I remember my mom would always say, you were so terrible as a child. Like, your child is going to do it like 10 times worse. Has anyone's parents ever said that to them? Yeah. But no, I'm like, I'm just dreading the time when Zoe would start asking, like, why a brother? Why another brother? Why can't I drive your car? Because you're 3 years old. No. Like, why? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? Earlier, I was asking God, why? Have you ever asked him why? I asked him. I said, why can't I be on the worship team? I did. I said, Lord, this is my church. He was like, no, this is my church. I said, okay. This is Alrighty, there you go. So this is your church, and I thought that, you know, why can't I be on the worship team? He was very silent on that one. I asked him, I mean, have you ever asked him why? Like, why don't you live in Hawaii? I asked him that. I'm like, why don't I live in Hawaii? Why is it cold outside? Why is it raining? Like, what is going on? Why? Have you asked him why? Why haven't I been healed yet? Why haven't you answered my prayers? Why is there so much poverty? Why do so many people have to die in this tragedy? Why? Have you honestly asked God why? Some people ask me some of the craziest moments after going through seasons of tragedy, and I look them square in their face and I said, I do not know. I'm not going to make up a lie to them. And I said, honestly, you will never know. Not on this side of eternity. You may never know until you're actually with Jesus. You will never know. What we do know is that we live in a sinful world that's full of pain, isn't it? But that's why Jesus is coming back for us. And we also know that no matter what's happened, no matter what has happened, that God has this divine way of making it all work together for good. That's what his word says, and that's what I know. So they ask me, like, why did this happen? I'm like, I don't know, but I know God is going to make it work together for good. And no matter what the enemy has stolen from you, I'm telling you that God is going to redeem it. That's what I know. Fixating on the why, it paralyzes us, y'all. You know, there's a story of Terah, Abram's, you know, the father of faith, his father. And he was called to move to Canaan. And here's the story. It just blew my mind when I saw it. He was supposed to be moving. He was called to move from where he was to where he was supposed to be. And it says that somewhere along the journey, he just settled. He didn't go to the promised land. I wondered why. He lost his child. He settled in Haran. That was his son's name. But God had called him to go somewhere else. That's so many of us. Some tragedy, something happened. Sometimes it's not even something major. It's just disillusionment, you know? After you've been waiting for a month, you can wait. For 2 months, you can wait. For 3 months, you know, you can wait. But after a year, after 2 years, four and a decade, a lot of us just camp our tent and says, this is where I'm staying. But my prayer for you is that you would move from why, God, to what, God, do you want to do with this? And anything, God wants to do something with it. He does not waste a hurt, y'all. He is that good. He is that loving. No, God does not cause your pain, but he can use it for impact, you know. He really can. He can literally use whatever terrible things that happen for his glory. I love Philippians 3 that says, I am bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Your greatest area of pain in God's hand can bring you the greatest impact. There's a quote, I love it. It says, the art of consoling others is often learned in the school of suffering. Isn't that good? The art of consoling others is often learned in the school of suffering. You might be a 40, 50-year-old man. You've built yourself a fortune. But when you think back at life, I mean, you often ask why, because you're thinking about your daddy. Your daddy left. Whether it was because he passed away early or whether he just walked out of your life early, but he left. And so it just plagued your mind for such a long time. And you're just saying, why? Like, why? Instead of asking and dwelling on why, say, what, God, do you want to do with this? I bet you anything. I bet you a Home Goods gift card. And if you know my heart, you know that Home Goods is just very close to it. I bet you a Home Goods gift card that there's a 20-year-old man right now that's going through the same thing, looking and wondering, wanting to know if there's any way out of this. And here your life experiences can help them. You might be a 25-year-old woman, and when you think back to just the earlier 20s, like you just made some mistakes or made some decisions, whether you were in search of affection or people's attention, whatever, you made some really crazy mistakes, and you're just kind of like, why did I have to go through that? Almost ashamed by it. Instead of dwelling so much on why, ask God, what do you want to do with this? He wants to do something. He wants to touch other people. Just like you. Second thing is healing always precedes impact. Healing always precedes impact. We travel a lot, my husband and I, especially with Zoe. And like last week, we were just in Nashville. It was just fun. I pretended that I was a musician, by the way, because everyone in Nashville is a musician. Like they carry like their guitar cases and I have like my fedora and all that stuff. And I'm like, I'm one of the crew, you know? I play the flute back in the day, but people discredit the flute for whatever reason, but it's major. Anyway, so we travel a lot with Zoe specifically, and because kids under 2, they travel for free. So Zoe has gone with us. And plus, when you travel with a child, you get some perks with it. We travel with Southwest, and you get to do early boarding. So it's kind of like free seating, and that once you're in, you can seat whatever you want, sit whatever you want, but so we're here, my husband and I, we board early, and we always, I don't want to say we pimp our daughter, what's the word for it? Strike that. You can cut the camera for that part. But no, I mean, she earns her keep in that people are giving us the eye, like, can I sit next to you? My husband and I are like, no. So we hoist Zoe up so everyone knows that we have a baby so that they don't sit next to us. Because who wants to sit next to the couple with the baby, you know? You don't. I know you don't. And so, like, sometimes if they're even being very persistent and they're looking at us, like, he starts to ask, did you change her yet? No. Did you change her yet? The chat thought she just pooped. You smell that? No, you don't smell that. I think she just threw up. And people are like, oh, disgusting. And I said, works. And anyway, so we do that all the time. I am not joking. We do that all the time. And it really works because, you know, there's not enough leg room. Anyway, traveling woes, I guess. But I remember the first time we were traveling with Zoe, and it was to go to Dallas for Pastor Damon and his lovely bride, Temi's wedding. By the way, I think they're celebrating an anniversary today. You can clap for that. I actually made that happen. I did. So if you're looking for, I don't know, a mate and stuff like that, who knows? Like, I'm your lady. I really am. I'm not joking. I wish that I was. I made it happen. They could thank me later. I tell them, you can just name your firstborn Zai. It means sweet smelling, by the way. I don't know. Just any takers? Okay. But so we're on this first flight, and so the stewardess, so the announcements are going on and stuff like that, and the flight attendant comes to me. It was just like, excuse me, I'm just want to let you know in case of emergency, then the oxygen mask is going to come on top. You just want to make sure that you put on your mask first. And then your daughter, and I looked at her like, no. Sometimes I just have an attitude for no reason other than I'm bored. And so she was like, and I'm like, no, why? And she was like, no, because we want to make sure that you're taken care of first before your child. So just put on your mask, lady. She didn't want to have a conversation. And so my husband is like, back down, Zai, because sometimes, you know, I just get a little, the word is crunk, I guess. She's trying to do her job. And I said, fine. But so the woman's talking to me and I'm just like, whatever, fine. And I always wonder, like, why? Why help myself first before her? Like, my child, if anything were to go down, if the plan was to go down, I want to make sure that she is fine. But my love for Zoe is determined by my care for myself. You know, a lot of us, we have this Messiah complex. We want to help everyone all the time. So sometimes the detriment of ourselves. Now, hear me. I'm not saying, see, that's why I don't help, but that's why I don't even open doors for people. No, that's what this message is about. But a lot of us, we want to just help everyone. We want to do this, we want to do that. But there's a certain level of healing that we need ourselves. To make lasting impact for other people, we must first encounter the healer ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that you have to be perfect. No one's going to be perfect. No matter if your eyeliner like matches and all that stuff, like you have the perfect cat eye, like it, I don't ever. But no matter how great you think you are, the Lord says they're just like filthy rags. We're not going to be perfect until we're with Jesus. We're all in process. But let me tell you, there's a certain level of healing that we can receive from the Lord. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 says, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. God can comfort. You know, sometimes how we view life, we mismanage it. In that first, we're fixated and consumed by it, like we can't move past it. And we kind of talked about it. Move from the why, God, to what, God, do you want to do with that? But there's a huge chunk of us out there in that we dismiss pain. We say it's just normal. You know, everyone gets fired and stuff like that. No, you got fired and it was a huge shot to your confidence. And you need healing from that. Some people say, you know, everyone grew up really, really poor, eating sardines and pork and beans and stuff like that. Yes, maybe. It sounds good as a rap song, but you were really, really poor and it's affected the way you see money. You need to get healing from that. You may have dated that guy and you dated for such a long time and you gave him your all and it just didn't work out. And so now you think, you know, everyone gets a breakup. Yes, but it was a little bit more involved for you. You need to get healing from that. Here's the thing. Lord's saying that he can heal. He heals and he comforts us in all of our troubles, whether it's something major or something big. Whether it's you stubbed your toe or someone else like just broke your heart, God can bring healing to it. That word healing, I love the opening text because it's used like 8 times. That's a lot of comfort, rather. And that word comfort, it talks about just this divine comfort, this comfort that can only come from God. You know, it's the same word that they even use when it says, pray the comforter to come down to you when Jesus is talking. Have you ever had like a warm comforter in the wintertime? You know how you snuggle next to it and stuff like that? Just feels really cozy. God's comfort is real. You can feel it. It's not just this fuzzy thing, but this is warm thing that comes and touches all the areas of your body. So how do I get that comfort? One, through his word. If you need healing from, and honestly, we all need healing from something. Whether it's even getting here and people cut you off and stuff like that, and you almost gave them, you know, the number one finger, but you need comfort. You need comfort, and God's word brings it. Psalm 107 says, then they cried out to the Lord in their troubles, and he saved them out of their distresses. Verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. What are you going through? I don't know, but you can Google it.
What do you say about financial trials, Lord?
And scriptures, it's not that deep. God's word can bring comfort. Second, it's even through his presence. I love the presence of God. I never thought it was important, if I'm being honest. I'd be that person that comes in just a little bit late, just right in front, just right in time for the message. I scoot on in like, good word. and I scoot right back out. That was awesome. Always miss it. I never prioritized it. I just didn't think it was important. That's me. That's no one here, but that's me. I found out that honestly, the best message you're ever gonna hear is from the Lord himself. And thank God for our worship team. We have some godly people. We have people like Pastor Trent leading just our worship team, and they're facilitating just these God encounters. There was this, it was actually a little bit ago. It was a young lady. She came in and she was just in distress. Like she was like crying and all that stuff. And I didn't know what to do. So I just kind of hugged her and I'm like, okay. Like she was boo-hooing type thing. And come to find out that she had just lost her best friend the night before. Best friend had overdosed. First of all, she was in church the next day. What? And then I remember, so she's in worship and stuff. I'm like, dang, do I pull her out and talk to her? I said, no, the best message that she's going to hear is from the Lord himself. So she's crying. Her eyes are just streaming, but her hands are lifted up. And I got so excited. And I said, oh my gosh, they better sing that. They better give me the mic. I'll sing to them because I know. Like I was getting so excited because I'm like, Lord, you're moving. She needs you so desperately right now. And God, you are moving in her life. Oh God, speak to her. Let her know that this person's life was not in vain. God's presence, it brings comfort to our lives. You need yourself some worship. I had the team sing one of my favorite hymns that just makes me calm down. I hope y'all enjoyed. Y'all enjoy the hymn today? I just love it. Give it one up just for the worship team. Thank you, worship team, for all that you do, honestly. Third is through his people. Some of us, we trust God, but we don't trust his people. Well, well, well. I think I struck a nerve. Because you'll smile, won't you? God is so good. Mm-hmm. Yes. I was getting, life is so good. It's just busy, you know. It's just so fun. Then you get to your car and you're crying. Or you're going through some things and no one knows. Like you have your homies, dap, whatever. I don't know. That was my attempt at being cool and relevant. But you have your people, but they don't know the Lord. And sometimes you could even tell that God is just making you uncomfortable with them. You know, like it's like not clicking as much. You don't want to go where they want to go anymore. Like stuff that they do is just a little different. And I'm really telling you that God is nudging you. And what we have here is connect groups. It's not too late to join a connect group, by the way. These are groups of people meeting all over the country, one day, but all over this area just to connect. Join a connect group. There's one great for you and healing happens there. The earth thing is my place of healing is my place of impact. My place of healing is my place of impact. I'm going to be very honest. I'm going to say, I'm going to put this water down. I'm going to say a statement that's going to rub some people the wrong way, and I'm not going to apologize for it. I think I got your attention. I say it with a smile. By the way, if you ever have a difficult conversation, people just smile, and so they're like caught off guard. Like, what are you doing? But there's some of you here in this room. 6 months from now, you're not going to be here. And it's not because you get a job and you're going to Cali or anything like that. It's because something's going to happen, a tragedy, something that knocks you off your feet. The Bible talks about how the cares of this world, it chokes you out. And you're going to think God left you. And sometimes it's not even going to be something major, but it's going to be something small, you know, that happens over time that you're just going to be like, this is pointless. This faith thing, even serving on the dream team, this is pointless. I don't want that for you. I've been praying hard for every single one in this room underneath the sound of my voice. Because I know that the enemy wants to sift you as wheat. He is studying you. He knows what you like. He knows the things that bother you. He knows the gods that you have in your life, that if something were to happen with that, that you would turn your back on him. He is sifting you. And I'm praying hard for you. And I'm praying, God, I pray that they would have genuine faith, that they would know that no matter what happens, Lord, that you have not forgotten about them, that you have not abandoned them, that you're with them and that you have a way of making it work together for good, that those that are just getting tired of waiting and hoping, Because some of you have been praying for such a long time about the same one thing, and it has not come to pass yet. And you're here in this room saying, this might be my last time. No, I'm praying for you, contending hard for you. Don't go out like that. When I was 19, I met a man. It's a fun man, really great man. I have to tell you, during that time, my father had just passed away, and there was just a lot going on in my life. I like to say that I was a Christian. I really wasn't. I was going through the motions, you know? Like, I was reading my Bible sparingly, honestly. I was fasting a whole lot, because when I needed something, it's like, Lord, I just gotta fast. Like, I was doing a lot of that stuff, but just no real relationship with the Lord. And so I came across this man, and I felt like God gifted him to me. He was amazing. And all of our craziness and all that stuff, we got married. So I was married before. What? Yes, I was married before. Got married at 20 years old. And I was happy. This man, he was my world. You know, sometimes I look at some of my friends that had some, you know, they have a lot going on and just all their crazy relationship, and I'm like, like, the Lord has been good to me. I wouldn't say that to them, but I just thought that that just wasn't me. I'm just really happy. We've just been really, really happy, just in a relationship. Not just in a relationship. We were married. One night, I heard banging on my door. It was one of my dearest friends. She means the world to me. She came knocking on the door, and she's just like, and I hear the pounding, and I'm like, this chick is crazy. Because it's late, I'm like, and I can tell it's her. So she's banging on the door, and I'm like, what is going on? But I hear what she's saying. Sometimes you hear what's happening. I'm like, I'm not sure about that. I hear him banging on the door, and she's just like, they shot Sean. They shot Sean, and I heard the words, but I couldn't process it. Like, what do you mean? And I could tell by her clothes that there was blood on her, like, on her clothes. And on her hands, and she's just banging like, Zai, let's go. Like, they shot Sean. I'm like, what? Have you ever heard news that just knocked the wind out of you? And I'm like, what do you, I just saw him. He had gone to some party, like, in a good neighborhood. So it was not some rough and tough place or whatever. He got in a good neighborhood, and some guy started shooting. So he literally happens to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. And they shot him. So I'm like, okay, let's go to the hospital. You know, when something happens, you just start to just resurrect all the prayers, all the Pentecostal prayers, you know? Even if you're, I went to the Methodist church at that time. Like, even if you're not Pentecostal, but sometimes something happens, it's just like, I'm going to my roots, whatever those roots are. I started praying these crazy prayers and stuff like that. I'm like, Lord, I'm not sure what's happening, but you know, you raised Lazarus from the dead, so God, you can. This will not end in death. And I'm just like praying, you know? And I thought, no, okay, 50 Cent is an example of, Lord, 50 Cent was shot up, like, how many times? I am serious. He was shot so many times, and he lived. He's walking and stuff. Maybe that's what's going to happen. And I'm just like, all these different things, and I'm praying earnestly, like, Lord, please don't. Because, God, you can. Have you ever prayed to God knowing that he can, but he doesn't? You have all power, too. But he doesn't. Has that ever happened to you? Am I talking to myself here? We get to the hospital, waiting, and then the pastor comes in front of me, and it's just like, I'm like, no. And he's shaking his head, and I'm like, no. This will not end in death. No. And I'm like, why would you take him? He's so much better than me. Is someone young or someone just passed away and you're just like, why? Have you asked God why before? I tell you, in the middle of it, I felt so abandoned. I stuck my little finger at the Lord and I said, you did this. You could have stopped it, but you didn't, Lord. Why? And I said some other stuff that I'm not gonna say on a platform here. And I was angry. I was bitter. In the middle of it, I couldn't see. Nearsighted. Because grief is blinding, isn't it? Isn't disappointment dark? For some reason, whatever reason, I end up going to church. I don't know why. Sometimes you don't know what to do. You just come to church. And if that's you, I'm excited that you're here. I have prayed for you. I came to church and the pastor is going to a different church at the time. This really large church, awesome church. And this pastor is preaching about Luke 7. And we're almost out of time, but I'm going to wrap this up. Luke 7, he was preaching. And it's about the widow who, it was a funeral procession. And the widow was burying her only son. Please read, it's a fantastic story. And the Bible says that Jesus saw her in the midst of all of that, in the midst of her grief, and that he had compassion on her. And I remember reading, hearing the story, and I'm just like, because I felt that the Lord didn't see me. Have you ever felt like the Lord didn't see you? Maybe you have attention of everyone else, but him, he doesn't see you. I remember, and I'm like, okay, God, I promise, if you would see me, I would trust you, because right now I don't feel like you don't. The next week, I end up going to Jamaican restaurant. There's nothing spiritual about this, minus I like Jamaican food. I really do. I like the patties. Jamaican patties are my favorite. If you're Jamaican, just come see me after this message, and I'll give you a hug and give you my number for you to cook for me later. I'm at the Jamaican restaurant, and I see about, there's a long line. I see about maybe three people ahead, the senior pastor at the time. And I'd always kind of wanted to talk to him, but I didn't know I could. Again, I didn't trust people. And so I'm like, if God could disappoint me, then another person would too. So what's the point? But I saw him, and for whatever reason, like, and I remember just praying. I'm like, is that pastor? Just as I was thinking, he turned. And he looked at me. It wasn't him looking at me. I promise you, it was the face of God looking at me. Saying, hey, I see you. I know you say that you're a widow with nothing left, but I see you. And I have compassion on you. And I started crying, like monkey sobs cry, like deep heaves like cry. And I'm just saying, the pastor sees me, he's like, So he comes and he gives me a hug. He's just like, are you okay? I'm like, I go to your church and my husband was just shot and the child is gonna come soon and I don't know what to do. And I feel so left, but I think God sees me. And I think because he sees me, I think I can trust him finally with everything inside of me. And I don't know what to do, but I feel like the Lord is seeing me right now in this moment. And I just wanna trust him. I just really wanna trust him. And he gives me a hug. And I tell you, I gave my life to God at the Jamaican restaurant. That's why I really like Jamaican restaurants now. God connected with some amazing people, because God's people, they matter. I tell you, John 16:33, I came across this verse. It says, I have told you this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Bad things are gonna happen. How is church? Very encouraging. I heard bad things will happen. They will. Sometimes it's tragic things. Sometimes just slow nothingness. You know when slow nothingness starts to happen? Sometimes it's even more lethal, right? But God says to take heart, to be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. Let me tell you, you have been through things. You have. I can tell you have scars. They might not be tattoos, but they're etched on your heart. And what I'm telling you now is that God wants to redeem it. He wants to do something with it, and there's purpose to it. He will give you supernatural comfort, not so you can just hoard it, but so you can turn around and show other people that there is, God is faithful, that his mercies endure forever, that right now might be a time of mourning, but God sees you. I tell you, there will be a crown of beauty for your ashes, an oil of gladness for your mourning. This does not end your story. I had no idea standing in the middle of it that years later I would meet a man by the name of Stephen Chandler, and he would be my glance from heaven, my tea cake. I had no idea that I would even have a rambunctious little 15-year-old girl. Did you know I didn't even know I could have kids? I am passionate about the house of God. Because my God is real. He has been good to me. He has been so good to me, and I'm not special. Oh, I wish you all knew. My prayer is that you would have genuine faith, that no matter what happens, that you know God is for you, He is with you, and there's greater that He wants to do. So what does that mean? It means jump on the dream team. Come in contact with people just like you, that you can serve, that you can help. It means start that nonprofit. Join or even start that connect group. Minister to at-risk kids. It means run for office. It means do something. Have you not been impacted by God? Don't you have a story? Don't you want God to redeem it? I stand here a testament by the goodness of God, and I tell you, I am not alone. I am not alone. If you've been healed, if you've been rescued, if you have encountered the healer yourself, can you take a moment to just give God the glory, to give God the praise? Lord, we love you. Lord, we honor you. God, we praise you, for there is none like you, Lord. We give you the highest praise, Jesus. Thank you for healing us. Thank you, Lord God, for being there for us. God, you have called us for something great, Lord God, and we know, Lord God, that you are going to use our lives to be a testament of hope and of healing to everyone else.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at destinyharvest.tv. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.